and brightest day, in blackest night, all other podcasts tremble in fright. Losers cower before the power. Orange is lust, and blues you can trust. Indigos feel, and white ones heal. Yellow scare, and green ones dare. That sapphire love and black hands glove will rock your foundation without hesitation. Chad and Mars face evil's might. Respect their power, for they'll make you see the light.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chad Bokelman.
I'm Mark Marble.
And this is the Lantern Cast.
Episode 596.
That's right. What are we talking about tonight?
Green Lantern Corps 3.
Rough Riders.
A stupid title, but Peril of the Pirate Lanterns ain't much better.
I mean, it's definitely better than Rough Riders, I think.
I don't know. I don't know. It's like choosing the one knee to the groin compared to the two, I suppose. On a sliding scale of 10, we're talking both are 2 or 3, probably. But at least the cover has Dexter laying the smackdown on Hawkwoman. Oh, I wish I just noticed. I didn't even notice that before. 5 fingers to the face. Gotta love Dexter. Chad's got some brownies cooking in the oven, so we're gonna try to wrap this up. But we're gonna try to do this like maybe do like a 10-minute recap of this issue if possible. So yeah, Rough Riders, Morgan Hampton, Jeremy Adams writers, Fernando Pissarin pencils, Eau Claire Aubert and Jason Paz inks, Arif Prianto and Rain Burrito. Man, these names. Colors. Dave Sharp, thank God. A normal name. Letters. Fernando Pissarin, Claire Albert, and Arif Prianto, cover artist. We have a whole bunch of variant cover artists. I'm not going to read them all. Jillian Grant, assistant editor. Kathleen Wisniewski, editor. And Paul Kaminsky remains group editor. So picking up where we left off, Atrocitus is ripping into John Stewart and Hawkwoman here. Because he blames them all, he blames the Green Lanterns for the destruction of the Red Lantern Corps, which is somewhat interesting, as we'll discuss, because, before I won't editorialize. We'll do that after. So we get the origin of basically why these few surviving Red Lanterns are in this mess, because the Shadow Lanterns undercover, deep undercover as Red Lanterns, came in, destroyed the Central Power Battery, and, of course, giving a nod to Jeremy on this one. We hope this was Jeremy. Somebody actually remembering that, you know, when you're a Red Lantern, your heart stops beating because the ring and the Red Lantern energy pretty much replaces your heart. So almost all the Red Lanterns died pretty much immediately after the Central Power Battery was destroyed. The only ones that survived were the ones that had stronger, that had a little more, bit more charge in their ring, even though they started fading out and they weren't going to be lasting for long. Then conveniently enough, we had a slave trader ship that just happened to fly by. Okay, I'm editorializing a little. Fly by Yzmalt, takes all the surviving Red Lanterns hostage. They all feel this great rage, supposedly, but Zilius Zox, for some strange reason, he's the one that's able to actually channel in the Red Lantern power. This explains how he ends up being their power source, and the nth metal has allowed them to siphon off some of the power and blah, 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 blah. Hawkwoman is being pretty rational here, that she's like ripping into Atrocitus, blaming him for basically like he's responsible for the destruction of Thanagar when he's not, even though I guess he's trying to desecrate what's left of Thanagar, and that's enough to be the focal point of her anger. The big egg that was in the center of Thanagar, of course, is an egg, and surprisingly, hey, it gives out of the egg pops Horus, you know, the Egyptian sky god, and apparently the god, you know, the god of the Thanagarians too. So there's our mystery there. Kilowog is kind of comforting Razor for his falling victim to sorrow. Sorrow is kind of lamenting. It's like, stop, you feeling, you keep feeling hope. That's not good. You know, Starbreaker is going to make you stop feeling everything, as he kind of like flies off in a huff. Atrocitus tells Dexter to attack Horus, which is kind of funny. which does absolutely nothing, which except piss Horace off. I do like the reverse thrusters comment at the last second by Dexter realizing I'd done the effed up. Not his fault. He followed orders. So Horace unleashes his fury on the ship, splits it in half. Kilowog and Razor pull out all the survivors, as in all the survivors that are not Zillia Socks and Atrocitus, because that has to, we have to finish our little story with John and Hawkwoman and them. Now that the ship has been split in half, the ship is basically going offline, so the ability to contain Zox's fury in his rage is disconnected. So he's gonna explode real good. Dexter, Atrocitus seems somewhat legitimately concerned about Zox, and he basically says, "Hey, give me your energy, give me all your energy." And Zillius does, and of course it's just too much for Atrocitus to take, and because Hawkwoman's mace is made out of nth metal, even though he refuses her help at first, she throws out her mace to him. He grabs onto it. It's enough to prevent Atrocitus from dying. It rains in the energy, enough energy so Atrocitus is stable, but Zillius Zox is pretty much on his way out. Horace now he's really pissed, and he's kind of like, he's taking his fury out on everybody. Hawkwoman confronts him, and I guess that's all it needed for Horace to have a change of heart, going, "Oh, that's all right. You're one of my true disciples for standing up to me. I respect you." And basically, he's going off to find a new home for Thanagar. And you'll know when the time is right. And when I do, I'll send a signal, basically, and you come follow me, and we'll set up a new Thanagar. All the surviving Red Lanterns, I do like the fact that they killed Dexter until I realized they put him in a little kennel. They put him in a little cat carrier, which was a nice touch, even though Razor making it is a little shakier. But then again, maybe they have cat carriers where he comes from. They end up on Oa. And all the Red Lanterns put in stasis until at some point they either can be stabilized without having their power or having their power restored. Razor tries to give Atrocitus a little pep talk, basically saying, "Hey, you know, if you really want to, there are other ways or paths to power." His kids like conversion, I guess his semi-conversion speech, to try to say, "Hey, you could be a Green Lantern if you wanted," which of course Atrocitus says, "F you and F all this. We're going to get our powers back. The Red Lanterns are going to be rebuilt, and you guys are all going to pay." We have a dinner between Hawkwoman and John, who's only real, the only real relevance of this is kind of what Chad's been alluding to, and the fact that it brings it back onto the table in the open that John's not dealing with his grief and dealing with his issues very well. He does talk about his mother and some guilt about his mother, but he kind of kicks the can down the road about the Ellie Rose thing, say, "Oh, nothing's wrong could ever come of this," pretty much. It's like, "Oh, she's fine. She's helping out." And you have a little conversation between Razor and Kilowog about, "Hey, you're doing great being a Green Lantern. Just keep it up." That's kind of irrelevant. And the book ends on Yzmalt, where Sorrow, because I guess, no, again, we'll come back. We'll come back to this. That basically amongst all the corpses of the Red Lanterns, which I do feel bad about, that he goes to the base of the destroyed Red Lantern battery, and apparently Sorrow is going to be taking that nth metal back to work to be part of their battery. And next issue, Evil Star looks in the Cropia. I didn't dislike this issue really, but there's a lot of plot holes in this issue. The artwork was good again, I thought, especially with the Red Lanterns. When you go back and look at Yzmalt, I kind of like that.
Ellie, I understand, but you don't really need to worry about her. She's helping.
Yeah.
John, because canonically, you do remember the last time you didn't deal with Ellie Rose's death in reality, it caused you to psychosomatically stay paralyzed. you remember that, right? That first time Kyle became Ion?
Well, he probably does. Maybe whether Jeremy does, maybe not.
Last time you fucked around with not dealing with your sister's loss, it paralyzed you. So, you know, maybe deal with it now. I don't know. I do... just in terms of where to pick, I'm just going to jump in somewhere. I do like the power John exhibits here in terms of constructing the construct that he does to keep the entirety of that ship together, given its massive size. And how we know, I guess, if you want to go all the way back to Rebirth, about how John's constructs work in terms of building them from the inside out. So he's doing quite a lot of concentration on a very massive object just to allow everybody else the opportunity to evacuate. So he is displaying godlike power. That said, I would have liked to see a little bit more of it if he even still has this. Atrocitus says impossible. So at least there is a reaction to what John is doing shouldn't be capable under the normal Green Lantern circumstances, at least according to what Atrocitus knows. But while I like the confrontation between Shiera and Horus, it would have been cool to see two gods go toe-to-toe with each other.
Yeah, it would have been. Just like once again, we get the conversation about John's mother, but no acknowledgement about the AI in the ring.
Yep.
You got that. You had the fact that Atrocitus is essentially right in all this, by the way. I mean, but he would be more right, and this doesn't make any sense. I guess they want to say he's kind of blinded by rage, but he's blaming the Green Lanterns for destroying the central power battery and killing all the Red Lanterns.
He's right, but
according to the way he's telling the story, they showed up as Red Lanterns. If they had showed up as Green Lanterns and then shifted energy, because we know they don't need to be Green Lanterns, Red Lanterns, to blow up the central power battery, that it would be less ideological and more based in fact. Because he would have seen them come in as Green Lanterns, and he wouldn't know that they were Shadow Lanterns or they're not officially sanctioned Lanterns. So it's kind of contradictory a little bit, because unless if they had showed them shifting to green in the destruction, I would get it more, but they don't. But no matter what, Atrocitus is essentially correct. But it would have been, I think, his dialing up to 11, his disgust towards the Guardians and the Green Lanterns would be even more understandable if we had seen them come onto Izmalt as Green Lanterns and just fucking everything up. But so if you thought the big egg inside what's left of Thanagar was gonna have anything to do with the actual Green Lantern story we were being told and the Fractured Spectrum arc, spoiler alert. I don't care about Thanagar anyway, but I care even less when it's like you're hoping this has some relevance to the story they're supposed to be telling here.
Yeah. Another thing, artistically, I don't. After Zelias gives his power to Atrocitus and it all goes into the nth metal, I guess, on her mace before she hits Horus, she says, "You did it, Atrocitus. You saved him." Okay, and then we see Zelias in the background after he expended the energy passed out, and she said you saved him, which implies he's not dead. Then we don't see him again, and I'm not seeing him in these constructs that Kilowog and John and company are all carrying out. So where is Zelias? Is he alive or is he dead?
I'm assuming he's dead, and he just kind of like blew up in the what's left of the remnants of the ship. I think that's why
it doesn't make sense.
I think that's what Atrocitus is saying when he's saying that this is how the Red Lantern Corps dies.
Mm.
And speaking of which, by the way, another real convenient plot point. I ain't buying at all that all these Red Lanterns are full of rage, and it's Zox who somehow is able to tap into the red power. that's like a Deus Ex Machina 101 there.
No.
I don't buy any of that. I think that's just that, because again, they've given us no reason to, because we don't understand how this power is just randomly manifesting. It also again doesn't explain if they had their rings on to start with, which is what kept them alive. That would explain why they were wearing Red Lantern uniforms. He still doesn't have a Red Lantern ring on, which means he shouldn't have a Red Lantern uniform, even if he's channeling the power. And if they could, then everybody else should still be wearing Red Lantern uniforms, even because they're pulling power off of him. And I don't know. It's not a bad read. I don't think it doesn't push the Fractured Spectrum story very far.
Hmm. We learn maybe a little bit about Sorrow, though, I would say, because we know that Kilowog, because of his grief that he's experienced with Bolivac's Vic, and I guess his own family as well, because didn't somebody from Bolivaksvik survive, and he also lost them too? I don't remember. But anyways, because of his experience with grief and everything, he was basically immune to sorrow. And then sorrow here says, stop it, stop it. I can feel your hope. But the sorrow doesn't have room for it. So it almost feels like, and I mean, and this could be a case of just trying to think beyond the comic and read into it. But it almost feels like maybe any emotion strong enough could override sorrow, or could succumb to sorrow. I'm not sure, because like, if I, let's say rage is featured in this issue. Let's use rage as an example. I'm super, super fucking pissed off. You know, I am feeling the most rage I've ever felt in my entire life, but someone extremely close to me just died in front of me. And that sorrow, doesn't that just sap everything? Whether you're feeling rage or fear or whatever, what does the sorrow sap everything, or can strong enough? Because even I'm thinking hope, you know, why would I have so much hope when there's so much loss right in front of me? It would sap my hope. But if I have enough, it can override. Can I don't know, because you would think, like, you know, as they've been touting in both this series and the main one, the whole like, you can willpower your way through these, especially these people who are manifesting these emotions, and how like willpower is supposedly the key. But can any emotion also override sorrow or something like that if it's felt strongly enough? Obviously this issue doesn't answer any questions, but it does give us more looks at what sorrow is and isn't capable of overcoming.
If I had to guess, maybe, yeah, it may be too logical, which is kind of funny to think, be using logic to apply things related to the emotional spectrum. I would suspect that maybe it's more the positive side of the emotional spectrum, quote unquote, that could do that, because they seem completely contradictory to being sorrowful. I think you're more closely aligned. I think fear, greed, even rage, rage might be the exception, but I think hope, I think compassion, I think love, I think they seem to be more diametrically opposed, I think, to the feeling of sorrow and hopelessness. If you view sorrow almost as hopelessness, that it would make sense that hope, that the blue, but not that we have any friggin' blue lanterns, and even if they did, they'll just kill them off again anyway. It would seem like the blue lanterns could be pretty powerful against dealing with sorrow. So who knows? Maybe, hey, no pun intended, we could HOPE that, maybe St. Walker becoming a blue again at the end of the storyline, or towards the very end, could, when the, like, if the power batteries are restored, could have a big fact, play a big role in solving this. But it seems like. Good. Okay.
I wonder if we're Geoff Johnsing this thing, because they haven't given us any information about this quote unquote new emotion. I mean, and they still have yet to show us any of these other fractures. But when Geoff put his stuff out, like, he was like, he would give us like the classic lines. He'd be like, you know, the reason a Green Lantern powers up a Blue Lantern is because hope is nothing without the will to back it up. Like, he would be explaining why one emotion would sap the other, because it makes sense when you think about the emotional spectrum and how these emotions play with each other. So he figured out ways to make the power work in a similar way. But because we have no information on sorrow, the only thing we're trying to figure out is based on what we do know, which we don't even know if that's still in sync anymore, if that's still in continuity, because, like, okay, yeah, we're referencing the fact that hope, or the rage, replaces the heart, which hasn't been mentioned in fucking forever, but was an aspect of explaining rage, because if you feel that level of rage, I forget how they explained it, but it replacing your heart made sense. Because it's your entire purpose.
Yeah, you're living for the rage. So the rage, right, basically is what's keeping you alive.
So, but see, when we start trying to Geoff John sorrow, it doesn't make much sense, because I can think about sorrow in so many different ways. I can think about it in Nathan's way, in terms of grieving the loss of a woman who dumped you and you thought the love of your life or whatever, and you're grieving for that relationship. Or I could also, so that's love. I could think of it in the way of greed, this person or this thing is gone and I want my thing back. I'm mourning the loss of my possession. Like, I'm just like, I'm trying to insert it into the emotional spectrum as is with all the Geoff Johns understanding. And I think that may be my problem, is because I don't think that framework as such exists anymore. So like, I just think, sure, for narrative purposes, so we understand characters and power sets more, sure. But like, also just to like stop my mind from running 1,000 miles an hour, Jeremy, can we answer like, what is sorrow? Like, how it relates to the emotional spectrum? Because I feel like I'm getting lost in the sauce.
Yeah, I agree. This story is still, I mean, this is how you have to do the tap dance here. Conceptually, this story is still much more interesting than the whole Durlin Shadow Lantern thing. Okay. But if you're looking at what they're giving us so far, it is kind of moving at a glacier's pace again. I mean, so going back to the idea that, hey, if rebuilding the central power batteries was the way to stop this emotional spectrum from crumbling, well, that should have been, that would seem to be like a Captain Obvious thing to start with. It's like, well, what's missing from the emotional spectrum, or what is gone now that wasn't gone when the emotional spectrum was in check? Oh, all the central power batteries were there. So that would seemingly should have been a focal point.
Oh, you mean the Occam's razor solution?
Yeah. And just like this, you have, if you knew nth metal was part of every central power battery that had been made, theoretically, then why wouldn't fucking sorrow just go to any of the other 7 or 6 batteries that are destroyed and just take it from there to begin with? Because you know there's fragments of these central power batteries all over the universe. It seems like it's a matter of convenience in any given moment. And who knows, maybe there's a particular reason why he ends up dealing with, maybe he felt something when he was dealing with the Red Lanterns. It's like, oh, there's something about the power of rage, because of how powerful rage is, taking a piece of that battery will make their attempts to wipe out all emotion so much more effective. It's like everything else. Who the hell knows? Because they're not giving us anything. So.
Yeah. I will say the last thing I like, you didn't touch on it because you skipped straight to the end, but I do like, just throughout the whole issue and this second to last page here, the relationship that we're getting, you know, just the conversations between Kilowog and Razor. I'm happy to have that dynamic back, because that is a friendship, a sort of tense but loving friendship that Kilowog and Razor had in the animated series by the end, that I'm happy to see it, you know, kind of play out on the panel here. And they're going to Warriors, right? It doesn't say Warriors, but this is Warriors, isn't it? I'm pretty sure when he built Warriors on Oa, it was like this half battery design. There's clearly a bar in there, but like,
yeah, you are probably correct. I mean, I didn't really pay much attention to. Well, you know, it might not. That may not be a, because they almost kind of look like books on the shelf. But they seem awfully happy. So you're probably correct. You're probably correct. I'm trying to see if, well, based on the shape of that thing, it almost looks like it's near the central power battery. Which we know it's in the shape of a central power battery, you know, half a shape. I don't know. I mean, it could be, because you have those two lamps, the two lanterns side by side on the right in the foreground.
Laughing,
holding their stomach. They're both holding their stomach. That could not necessarily mean that they're drunk, because they could just be laughing their asses off. Well, hope they're not really laughing their ass off pointing to that walrus lantern, because that's kind of mean if it is. We don't like lantern bullies. It's, I don't know. I enjoyed it for what it is. I don't care about the Hawkwoman John stuff. So that stuff is just, like I said, the only thing that made that kind of worthwhile for me was because we were dealing with the stuff, the underlying grief, and not dealing with his own issues. So,
and that's a benefit of having Hawkgirl here. Like, we can say what we want about them forcing this relationship because of Justice League Unlimited and blah, blah, blah. But in terms of, you know, narratively speaking, John is suppressing something. Who is likely to get out of it? Okay, if we're already bringing Shiera into the picture, it's very clearly going to be easy for him to open up to Shiera. So let's use that to get a little bit of what's going on in John's head.
Agreed.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I don't have much.
All right, what's next?
I don't think we have anything, do we?
I don't think so, unless we have feedback that you want to...
No, we know. No, we have no feedback, and I can save what I've seen until our next recording. So we can wrap up.
All right. So
so your brownies won't burn.
Yeah.
Lanterncast.com. The email is lanterncast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Blue Sky, Twitter, #GLcast, and like us on Facebook. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, whatever platform you listen to us on. Please leave us a pause review. And last but not least, you'd like to leave us a text or a voicemail, 708-LANTERN, and let us know what you think.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.